time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, yes, I'm on again, and I'm on with Fred Malone today, and we're talking about, well, a lot of different things, a lot of history. And Fred, what are we going to talk about this hour?
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit. I want to talk some about Malabar. I want to talk about the bicentennial somewhat that's coming up some of the things that are going to be taking place. I thought I had a complete list of all the programs with me, but apparently I've left that on my desk at home. But I do remember, excuse me, Charlie, I do remember that that Mike Brewer's presentation of farming in Marion County is going to be held, I think, on the 27th of February. And I can call in tomorrow and let you know for sure.
Yeah, he's an old farmer in Marion County, that's for sure.
Yeah, that family goes, his family's been on the same farm, I think, either seven or eight generations. So he's going to present that program. And for your listeners, I'll give a call back in on tomorrow's show and give you the exact date and time on that. I've got it at home. But there are programs throughout the entire year on some different subject as we go along each month. And those are being held out at, I believe they're going to be held out at Tri Rivers. I think that's where the first one was. But some of the, this is a few of the things that I did have written down that are going to be taking place this year. On March the 22nd, the Historic Women's Home, the Women's Club home here, out on 309, they're going to be having an open house on the 22nd of March from 2 to 5 in the afternoon. They're going to have several reenactors there portraying people from the Women's Club home. And just to just to give you a little bit of information, the home is a Colonial Revival style. It has 2.5 stories to it. Very beautiful front porch across the front of the home, if you've driven by there before, which has a circular extension on it. There is a veranda on the second floor. However, the railings of the veranda had to be removed in 1978 because of maintenance. The iron fence has a pineapple finial design. The fence in the back of the property was removed and sold during World War II for the scrap metal. The home has corner pilasters with ornamental caps. There are two gables with dormers. Now, if you can imagine cars pulling up to the portico where the auditorium is now located when the Barlows hosted prominent people like the Kings and the Hubers, I bet that was something to really see. The local banker, Henry True, owned the property at one time, and the Barlows bought the land from Amelia Lotz on January the 18th of 1902. Now, Shuck, that's quite a name, isn't it? Shuck and Ida Barlow.
We had Shucks and Bucyrus.
Did you really? No. Shuck and Ida Barlow lived there from 1903 until their deaths. The home was bequeathed to the Marion County Federation of Women's Clubs in October of 1945. So anyway, if you go that day, March 22nd, you will have an opportunity to see some of these people. Of course, Shuck Barlow, I think, is going to be there. Let me look through my list here.
Wasn't Barlow head of the Huber?
Yes, he was. Right, absolutely. He's president of the Huber Manufacturing. Right. I think I might have those dates in here.
I've given more speeches in that home than anywhere else in Marion, because I spoke to all women's clubs there.
January of 1905, he was elected to succeed Mr. Huber, who had died in 1904. He worked a total of 62 years for the Huber
62.
Company. 62 years. Served as the chairman of the board from 1929 until 1943. So he will be there. Mrs. Ida Barlow will be there. Ollie Stevens, who was the housekeeper, will be there. Let's see. I'm not sure whether Madge Guthrie will be in attendance or not, but...
she's dead.
Somebody reenacting her.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Somebody reenacting her.
Yes.
A famous radio personality, of course, from Marion. Margaret Harder, scheduled to be there. She was president of the Women's Club on two different occasions. Robin Miller, who was the son of a local minister, lived with the Barlows for several years, so scheduled to be there. And then there will be people that will take you up to the third floor ballroom and show you all that went on up there. I guess they had quite a bit of things going on up there too. Yeah.
There was an artist that used to give lessons on painting. What was her name? I think she's still alive.
I don't remember.
She's quite well known. That happens to everybody, I guess.
So anyway, that's coming up next month. That's March the 22nd. So look for that probably on the Historical Society's webpage, on the Facebook page, and also in the newspaper. I'm sure they'll have something coming up on that. Then May the 2nd, which is on a Saturday, I believe, Huber Homecoming will take place out at the Huber Museum at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, it's a yearly event. Yeah.
And this year they're going to have Ed Huber there. To be a part of the festivities.
And the real Ed Huber is head of the organization.
Yes, the current Ed Huber, but I'm talking about the old Ed Huber.
The one with the beard.
Right, right, absolutely. The one that was a company starter.
And he built the building downtown near one block away from us.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
You're talking about his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, it was what's in there now? It used to be Euler's department.
You're talking about the building downtown. Okay,
yeah.
Right. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, right on the corner, across the street. Yeah, across the street from this building.
Yeah, Yeah,
it's right across the street from this building.
Yeah.
Right at the corner of Prospect and Center Street.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right. Well, anyway, he'll be there for that. That runs from 11 in the morning till dusk. Then on June the 18th, they're going to have the... 125th anniversary of the Women's Club home. So those activities will take place again out there from 4:30 to 6:30, and I think Chuck Barlow will be out there again that day. July 4th, Prospect's having their homecoming. They're planning a big doing, so to speak.
I can imagine, yes.
They've asked for the Hardings to be there and also Christian Gast, who was the founder of Prospect.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps his great-grandson will be portraying him that day.
Good, yeah.
I've had some conversations with him. I've got to get back with him now that I've got dates. But that's July 4th.
And that's the home of Larry Barnett.
Yes, right, absolutely. Yeah. Baseball umpire for a number of years.
And
right.
Years ago, there was a man by the name of Ollie Niemeyer. And Ollie was, I think he was with the ODNR, and quite well known in wildlife circles or whatever. Ollie Niemeyer, he's long gone.
Then July the 18th, Tawley Township, Martell, they're having their homecoming. They haven't particularly asked for any reenactors for that, but they may. Then again on July 19th, the Women's Club will be open again for tours in the afternoon. July the 31st and August the 1st, Morrill will be having their homecoming,
really?
The village of Morrill.
And where will that be?
I don't have an exact location, but I would imagine throughout the whole village. They've asked for Samuel Morrill, the founder of the village,
be
there that day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be providing a reenactor, and that's from 4:30 to 9:30 both days. And again, Charlie, when I come back each month, we'll highlight whatever one's going to be. I just thought I'd run down the schedule for the season that I have so far.
Right.
Then August the 2nd, New Bloomington will be having their homecoming, and the founder of New Bloomington was Wingate Carey.
I never heard of him.
That's great-grandfather of Richard Carey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes,
so
yes, yes.
He will be represented that day. If I can find somebody to portray Wingate, Gary. You know, we're lucky in the
what Marion, a name, Wingate.
Wingate, yeah. And the Marion County Historical Society is very fortunate that we have a lot of volunteers that like to do reenacting.
Yeah, that's good.
So we can usually provide a lot of these reenactors for these places. Now, I think this is going to be a good one. August 22nd and 23rd, Owens Station will be having their homecoming.
Oh, that's a good place.
And, of course, that's Dennis Maddox's recreation of Owens Station. And that's on Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 12 to 5. And Dennis has asked for as many reenactors as we can provide for that day. And then Dennis, of course, will be there to talk about specifics of Owens Station and give you the history of the town and also the Opera House, which is out there. Have you been to the Opera House?
Yes.
Yeah. Then again, September the 12th, the Women's Home will be open again for tours from 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. September 19th and 20th, Waldo is having its community homecoming.
Oh, really?
And, of course, Milo Pettibone was the founder of Waldo.
Milo Pettibone,
Pettibone, and, of course, named for his son, Waldo.
Yes.
So, as far as I know, Milo Pettibone will be there, as well as Waldo.
There haven't been many Waldos since.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. They've also asked for me to provide a General Harrison, William Henry Harrison, marched his soldiers through there on the war road.
Right.
And Captain Daniel Drake. Drake's Folly, right, absolutely.
You know, I saw the kids at River Valley School once did a total reenactment of Drake's Folly. It was really good.
Well, did you happen to get out to Sawyer Ludwig Park when we did Drake's Folly in the Woods out there?
No, I didn't.
When we did the outdoor drama,
a
few years.
Yeah.
The first couple of years we did Drake's Folly in the Woods.
Uh-huh.
We reenacted that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people had no idea what Drake's Folly was.
Right.
And his home
is still there.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was occupied by a professional bookkeeper. I don't know if it still is or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's in there now. Yeah. Is there anything in it?
Well, there should be.
I'm not quite sure. I have to drive down there and look.
Yeah, right.
Have to go to the GNR and get a piece of pie.
Yeah.
I'm not a bologna lover, but I love their pie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then again, on September 20th, the Historic Women's Club will have another open house. And Le Rue is going to have a homecoming on September the 26th. And they've asked for Walter Lingo to be there. And then who's the gentleman that has so much information about Le Rue? I think he's going to be there. Yes, Anderson.
Yeah.
I can't think of his first name.
It was Jim.
Jim.
Yeah.
He's going to be there, too, to provide answer questions and so forth.
On Jim Thorpe.
Yes, on Jim Thorpe, right. And probably talk a little bit about Walter Lingo as well on the...
I was
and
there
the Oorang Bang Indians.
Yeah, I was there the night that Jim Thorpe's daughter brought his Olympic medals.
Really?
And she handed them to me, and she said, "Show them to the kids." So I left.
She had the opportunity to hold those Olympic medals.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
What a thrill that must have been.
Yeah. Wow.
And just to let people know the story of what happened with Jim and losing the medals.
Oh, yeah, losing the medals.
Tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah. Didn't they claim that he was being paid a paid professional
for baseball, actually?
Yeah, and could not accept an Olympic
medal. it was a one-shot deal in a summer. He played like semi-professional baseball in a summer league. The Olympic Committee found out about it and stripped his medals.
Yeah. And boy, it took the family quite a long time to get the Olympic Committee to give them back.
Well, yeah, long after his death.
Yeah.
Before they got them back.
Boy.
And I think to this date, his family is still upset about that whole fiasco.
Let's see. There were two major characters, Walter Lingo, and what was the other that had a store downtown, Le Rue?
Mm.
Oh. But, one raised dogs. That was Lingo.
That was Lingo, right.
Yeah. And the other had a... Like an old-time department store, you might say.
Yeah, and I'd have to go back over to the museum and look it up, but I know what you're talking about.
Now, the interesting thing, too, the American Legion moved its offices elsewhere in LaRue, and they called me over and gave me a GAR flag.
Is that the one we have at the museum now?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's in pretty bad shape. Yeah, needs to be restored.
That's where that came from. And then they also gave me all these books that had the soldiers from the Civil War.
We also have those. They're in the military room.
Okay, you got those?
Right, we do.
Because they had disappeared at one time, I thought.
Yeah, we have them.
Okay,
mm-hmm. They're in the military room, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so then the picture up on the wall, who reminds you of the little drummer boy of Shiloh.
Oh, yes.
I picked that one up, too, at the Legion.
Now I can't think of his name. He was from...
Did they ever identify him then?
Yes, they did. He was from over around Newark someplace, I think.
No kidding?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but yes, he was identified, right.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the... LaRue American Legion for thinking of us and
absolutely
giving us all these
artifacts. Well, you know, and that's just like I said earlier. You know, we've got 40,000 plus articles in archives now, thanks to the generosity of the people of Marion County. And if it weren't for that, you know, we wouldn't have much of a museum.
Sure.
But you know, the thing of it is, we still get things given to us all the time, and sometimes it's second and third generations removed that bring things into us. They say, well, you know, mom or grandma died and we found all this stuff instead of throwing it away.
Yeah. Okay, we've got about 45 seconds left in this portion. Then we'll be right back after a break with Fred Malone and talking more about the celebration and various things going on. So stay tuned. And let me see, is there anything else I needed to mention? I guess that's it. So stay right where you are. We're going to pause here for about a minute or two, and be right back with Fred Malone. And Fred Malone is a past president of the Marion County Historical Society. Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again with Fred Malone and, well, Fred, a lot going on.
Well, I wanted to mention a couple of things before we move on from the bicentennial.
We
were talking about New Bloomington and Wingate Cary being the founder. New Bloomington was actually originally called Cary Station.
It was.
And, of course, it came from Wingate Cary, who helped lay out the village in 1856. W.W. Cary, not Wingate, but W.W. Cary, built the first frame store building and warehouse in the village, and then later a post office was established under the name of New Bloomington. Why? Because in 1879-1880, the rail station name was changed to Belfast, while the post office stayed as New Bloomington until 1883, when both the rail station and the post office were changed to Augusta.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's from the Marion History, one of my Marion History Digest, not Digest. You know what I'm talking about. The big, thick book.
Yeah, right.
That's from that. Yeah. Now, the other one I wanted to mention, we were talking about Waldo And Milo Pettibone. Let me see if I can find that one here.
Yeah, Milo had something to do in history.
Let's see here. Waldo was plotted by Milo D. Pettibone in 1831, a name for his son. It was still part of Marlborough Township of Delaware County at the time.
Okay.
So it wasn't even part of our county yet. The land was once owned by the father of President Rutherford B. Hayes.
Okay.
Yeah, so Hayes' father once owned it, but he failed to pay the taxes, and that allowed a gentleman by the name of Eliza Porter to buy the land before Pettibone eventually owned it. Pettibone built a log structure to use as an inn, and he was also Marion County's first prosecuting attorney.
Milo,
of course, everybody from more modern day times thinks of Waldo. Where's Waldo? From the war. Let me look. I was going to look at Le Rue here and see if they mentioned the store that you were talking about. Let's see. The first store was opened by Henry Siegler in the summer of 1851. Hiram Mills was the first undertaker. George Miller was the first tailor. And a guy by the name of Leonard Orth, O-R-T-H, was the first blacksmith. Le Rue's first resident was a log house, 16 feet square, close to the river on the east side of what is now Front Street. When he plotted the village, there were 90 lots, four of which he gave to four religious groups, along with a donation of $100 each. And I think one of those was the Odd Fellows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so. There's only, I think, they may still be in existence in Marion County, one of the Odd Fellows lodges in Caledonia.
Yeah, I think it does. Right,
yeah,
I think
son-in-law, I think belongs to that.
And I just noticed the other day when I was in Delaware, I parked in that one lot. Let's see, I forget what side of the street that would be on now. But anyway, very close to where Bun's Restaurant is, there's a Knights of Pythias Lodge still in operation.
Are they
down there?
Yeah, I wonder, you don't hear much about Knights of Pythias.
No, you don't, but that's, I guess I was asking a local down there about it and said that's still a pretty active lodge.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, that was the Protestant version of the Catholic Knights of Columbus.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus.
But we were wondering the other day, Scott and I, whatever happened to the ladies' groups like Altruza?
Well, Altruza's still going.
It is?
Yeah, Phyllis Hendricks, in fact, I think either was their president or is their president.
Oh, no kidding.
It's still an active group, yeah.
Ah,
yeah, but, it, you know, it's unfortunately, it's like all the other fraternal organizations, both men and women, they're losing memberships because their members are dying out, and the younger generations have no interest in fraternal organizations. The Elks Club here in town's down to, I think, less than 200 members. And when Harding was around, there's a couple thousand.
Yeah, and Harding belonged to the Masonic Lodge.
Right,
here.
Exactly, and they're losing their membership.
Yeah, and DeMolay and Job's daughters,
yes,
they're gone, aren't they?
Yes, well, I don't know. When I was a kid, I was a member of the DeMolay Lodge.
Okay.
But I don't know whether they're still around. That was the youth organization for the Masonic Lodge.
Right. I went to the men were taken into the DeMolay. And,
yeah, I forget what we were called then.
And I can't remember. I mean, yes, I can remember looking at the stage, and I think every stage in the Masonic business has a G hanging from the ceiling.
Yes, right, absolutely.
And I told the person next to me, I said, this program today is brought to you by the letter G. Boy, did I get a
dick. I was going to say, did they, yeah, they probably gave you the dickens for that. The Elks Lodge here in town, the big... the lodge room now has been turned into an apartment.
Oh, really?
And the lodge is so small now, and this is a lodge member told me this, that they're meeting it, that they have their actual lodge meetings themselves in one of the smaller rooms upstairs.
Wow.
And generally there's only a handful of people, not even the people, and I don't think enough to take care of all the stations. But I'll tell you what lodge is still very, very, very active is the Knights of Columbus.
Oh, yes.
And that's extremely active, not only here, but in almost every town where there's a Knights of Columbus.
Cyrus has a big one,
So does Cary.
Yeah.
And I belong to the lodge in Cary.
Okay.
But
I wonder what the statuitness is of the KFC.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyhow, yes, they are there. And soon, the KFC and Marion will be having their chicken, or not chicken, but their fish
dinner. Knights of Columbus will have their fish dinner starting, next Tuesday is Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, Fat Tuesday, yeah.
Ash Wednesday will be next Wednesday. So Fat Tuesday, stock up on your punch keys.
Yeah.
I was in Meijer last night, and they already had them.
No kidding.
They got them already. Oh. I always like wait and get mine on Monday night before Fat Tuesday.
Well, we had a listener. She was terribly old. Not terribly, but she was really old and made Fasnachts, F-A-S-C-H, whatever. Every Shrove Tuesday and brought to the radio station.
Can you still get those anywhere?
I don't know. She made them herself, dipped and boiled them in grease.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a caller. Let me see here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, how old is terribly old?
Oh, terribly?
Older than dirt.
That's as old as me.
you got to get closer to Kinsel Clutter's age.
Over 100.
Every morning when I wake up, I feel terrible.
Yeah. Oh, Fred, I'm surprised. Everything's okay. I've been trying to get a hold of you for ages.
Are you doing it on my cell phone?
Yeah.
Not good. The battery won't stay up on a thing, and we've had a hard time trying to get a battery for it. So, basically, it's non-essential to me right now.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So if you've been trying to call me, I'm not ignoring you.
well, I figured maybe you fell off a ladder again.
No. Been healthy. No,
I
just
fell off the wagon, maybe.
See, you have to remember, I still have. Yeah, I fall off the wagon. I still have an old flip phone that I've probably had for 10 years.
So does my wife.
Yeah, so.
And they keep telling her they're going to be.
Yeah, they were probably analog.
Well, my wife keeps saying, why don't you get a new phone? And I said, well, because I like this, and it fits in my pocket, and I know how to use it. And I can't use hers. I don't know anything about it.
Go with Consumer Cellular.
That's who I have it with now. That's where this phone came from, Consumer Cellular.
Yeah.
But she got on the internet, and she did see where they still have a flip phone, but it's kind of an upgraded version of what I have. So I may have to go to that if I can't find a battery.
Well, I've been trying to get a hold of you to see about, you know, you, Evers, and Don Wilson go up to Port Clinton.
Oh, yeah. I'm about due for a trip.
About that almost a year.
I'm about due. I just paid my membership for the year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm good. But, if you need to get hold of me, our home phone is in the book.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still in the phone book, so we still have a landline, one of the few people that do. But
I'm sure I can find it on the internet.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You got a break coming up here in a moment or so, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, a few moments left. Well, hey, Evers, I'm up here at the Chamber of Commerce at their Entrepreneur Council.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go in and see what that's all about.
Well, I'm glad you pronounced it. I can't spell it.
No, that's with me. I couldn't spell it either.
I'd always leave the one E out of it.
Yeah.
And anyways, Ted Graham's going to be talking. Lowell Thurston's going to be talking.
Hey, ask Fred about the Jeeps.
The Jeeps?
Yeah.
You mean Ted?
He's got,
Ask Ted about the
Jeeps. Ask Ted about the Jeeps.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a ton of them out there.
Yeah, I'll find out what's going on. I wanted to ask Lowell about, you know, that one channel, Charlie, that sells all that jewelry and stuff?
Yes.
I want to get his impression, if he has seen it.
I can only imagine what his impression would be.
Yeah.
Probably not good.
Junk.
Hey, listen, I have your phone number, so I'll try to put together a trip up there maybe next month when the weather's a little more secure, and we'll go up and have lunch and take in the museum. A lot's happened probably since you've been there the last time.
The last time I was there, I only had a moment to go inside. I was on my way from shooting a video, and I just wanted to see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got to see where I think visitor center where you first go in. I think the diner's there. And
then, yes, right. The diner's off to the left when you go in the front door, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't get to see much of anything.
Well, the food's great in there, I'll tell you. It's very good, and you can sit and watch the planes come and go if there are any come in.
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll give you a yell.
Okay, will do.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, my cell phone is one of the original flip phones that Consumer Cellular came out with.
Really? My wife has one from AT&T.
Yeah. But I love it. It's small. Yeah. It fits in my pocket. But the battery, I think I've already had like three or four different batteries in it. In fact, my in-laws had a couple of them when they got their newer phones, and they gave me their batteries, and I've gone through them. But now if I even get a call on it, if I'm talking, it goes dead just like that.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's no good.
She can plug hers in and recharge the battery. So it's a little updated.
Well, I can plug mine in and recharge a battery, but even after I've recharged it, it doesn't last. No, it doesn't last. So it needs replaced.
Yeah.
But anyway, where were we? Oh, we were talking about fraternal organizations. There was a couple of women's organizations back around connected to the Masonic Lodge. Wasn't there a women's organization connected to the Masonic Lodge?
I don't know, but all
or
I...
Or was there a... I can't even think. There was a Rainbow Girls. What was Rainbow Girls? That was in school, wasn't it?
Were they part of Rainbow Girls?
Was that maybe part of the...
I hadn't thought of that.
Was that maybe part of the Masonic Lodge?
The
younger girls?
Right.
But you just don't... fraternal organizations just don't seem to be able to thrive anymore.
No,
and, of course, most of them at the time had bars where people could go get a drink, a private club type thing. And those are kind of a thing of the past now, too.
Yeah,
I think the Moose Lodge is still in operation.
Yeah, they are.
But they sold their big building and moved over on the other side of town to a small building. Yeah, so.
There's someone, I'm trying to think, some outfit that has something that they're going to be selling to make a bunch of money, and I can't remember who it is or what organ. But anyhow, I should remember these before I say anything. But there's some religious group, was it, that has all this property? No members of Boy Scouts.
Well, the Boy Scouts just went bankrupt. Yeah. Just filed for bankruptcy.
Right.
I just saw that on the news last night.
Selling all their property?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a shame, really.
They had assets of less than $10,000 and debts of over $100
million. Yeah, isn't it?
That was on the news last night.
Well, I tell you, they...
But how could they have assets of $10,000 and own all this property?
Yeah, well...
Something doesn't make sense
that's right.
But that's what they said on the news last night.
Really?
I would think all their property... I'll take a look at Camp Lazarus.
We're going to pause here. We'll be right back here in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with Brett Malone.
We were talking about Eagle Scouts.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad thing that the Boy Scouts had to file bankruptcy. I really hate to see things like that happen because, you know, when I was a kid, that was a great organization to be a part of. And I never did go all the way through and get get Eagle Scout, but I had several friends that did. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed going to scout camp when I was a kid.
Scouts were always big. Everywhere.
It's really a sad thing. And, of course, they have this big scout march every year to the Harding Memorial. And
that's right.
You wonder what's going to happen with some
the
of those
Harding
things.
Harding pilgrimage, yeah.
Right, if they have to liquidate their properties to settle. I heard on the news last night they had $100 million in debt.
Paying off the legal...
Between the legal fees and all the debt that they've incurred over the years, but they have to have some substantial assets in all these properties that they own.
I would think
around the country, and of course, aren't the Boy Scouts kind of a worldwide thing too?
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and we have Boy Scout stores that dispense.
Didn't there used to be one here in Marion?
There was in the little shopping center there.
Yeah, out by the mausoleum.
Where the Mexican store.
Yeah.
By the way, we had a lady that used to be on with us here. She just died, and she bought her grave.
Marge.
Hazley,
yeah.
But her obituary said she'd be buried in the Marion Cemetery.
Well, I thought she was going to be in the mausoleum.
She bought it. She paid for it, but it never mentioned it. So I told Scott to get in touch, if we can, with the man who manages it. We've got a recording of all that, and find out what happened.
Yeah, what's his name? I can't think of his name now.
Do you suppose the family stepped in and sometime?
I don't know. That's a possibility. I know we've looked at being interred in the old Marion Mausoleum.
He described how nice it was.
Oh, it is nice inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably could stand some new carpeting in there, but the building itself is in pretty decent condition.
Yeah.
Has a new heating system in it, fairly new heating system in it, and the roof is good because we looked at it. My wife and I looked at it, and we just haven't made up our mind yet, but we certainly are leaning that direction.
Yeah.
It's a part of history.
My land, yes. And because of that, the cell towers in that area had to contribute money.
Yes, absolutely, right. Yeah. And we have a nice new sign out there. It was put up a couple of years ago, designated by the Ohio History. Well, actually, we paid for it, but it's designated as a landmark, So I don't know. I have to find that out.
Yeah. There are not many mausoleums left because there wasn't enough money
to maintain them.
To maintain,
Now, I do know that there is a perpetual fund with this one. There's a board that operates it still, and there is a perpetual fund because when I showed some interest in obtaining a couple of, they call them apartments, is what they call them. When I showed some interest in it, I was asked if I wanted to be a part of the board. I do know that there's a perpetual fund there to take care of that building.
But we've got to find out about Marge because she went. In fact, she even brought the manager of the.
I can see his face, but I can't remember his name.
And we had him on the air for an hour.
Yeah.
And she just praised that place and was so happy to be consigned to it.
Well, maybe they just got it wrong in the obituary.
Well, that could be. Let's hope.
Well, anyway. Charlie, I want to just mention a couple of things here about Mohawk Historical Society. Again, I like to plug it every chance I get.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, someone came up to me a week or so ago and said, "Hey, who can I give a check to for the Mohawk Historical Society? I heard you talking about it on Charlie's show."
Oh, okay.
And I said, and she's a frequent visitor out at the senior center. I said, just leave it out there and they'll get it to me.
Yeah, great.
So we got a member because they listen
to
the show.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and again, membership to the Mohawk Historical Society is only $10 a year. And the $10 really doesn't even cover the cost of the newsletter. You get six great newsletters a year, and they're absolutely fabulous. We're working on our 27th year. I just got my volume 27 issue 1 newsletter here back in January, and we'll have another one coming up here probably in another few weeks because it'll be the March-April
issue.
That's right.
I got the last one in my backpack.
Yeah. So, but anyway, $10 a year. Once you reach the age of 80, You get your membership for free, so you don't have to pay for it anymore yeah. after that. And Charlie's one of those recipients. He gets a free membership now. But if you're interested, send a check for $10 to the Mohawk Historical Society, Post Office Box 336, Sycamore, Ohio, 44882. And you can be a member. And we are closed right now. We closed through the winter. And, of course, we're temporarily closed because we built a new building in addition to our two current buildings. And so that should all be ready to go here by spring. So you can check the website. There is a Facebook page for the Mohawk Historical Society, and check on that opening. But when we do open again, we normally are open every Saturday from 10 to 2. So just want to mention that. We don't have any events coming up now, but our event schedule will start again once the weather gets good in April or May.
You really have some great events.
They do. most of them are held at the old Opera House up in Melmore that we purchased a few years ago and completely renovated. We have all new seating in there so that it's a little more comfortable. But we have a new heating and cooling system in there. We put new windows in it.
Wow.
And it's just a nice facility. But we've had some pretty big – we've had the new Christy Minstrel there before.
Wow. Isn't that
so we've had a lot of great things going on there. So anyway, Mohawk Historical Society, we'd certainly like to have you as a member. I think we have members now in all 48 states.
It's just amazing how that's all worked out. $10 a year, or if you're over 80 or over, you get a free membership, and you get that
great newsletter.
Paper.
I mean, it really is a great newsletter.
Four times a year?
It comes every other month, so you get six of them.
Oh, okay.
You get six of them.
And it has more history in it than you could ever imagine. Interesting history. Odd history, a lot of it.
Yeah, gleaned from a lot of early newspapers, most of them. So, okay, changing gears and moving over to Malabar. I don't think I will be here again before the annual Maple Syrup Festival takes place.
Oh, boy.
So I want to talk about that just a little bit. I'll probably call in.
Yeah.
But we've got our annual Maple Syrup Festival coming up, and that's an annual event that's been going on for a number of years. In fact, Louis, when he was still living and running the farm, he had kind of a little makeshift festival every year when they made maple syrup. Of course, the way they were making it back then was in big kettles.
Yes, yes.
We have a new evaporation system that we purchased 2 years ago, or the state purchased 2 years ago, so that's what we're using now. However, if you come to the Maple Syrup Festival, you can see how Native Americans made maple sugar in a hollowed-out log, boiling water and dumping hot rocks in it to steam out the water and leave the crystals of sugar. And then you can move on down the trail and see how the pioneers would make it, make the sugar in a kettle. And then you can take a tour of our new evaporation system and see how we make the syrup.
Oh, okay. It's been 2 weeks ago, I talked to a big maple syrup producer in Morrow County, and she's probably well known. I can't remember. I don't know her name. Her farm is called Pleiades Farm.
Right. I know the.
You know,
I know
her?
The people. Yes.
Okay. She, I was invited to come and be with Buckeye Chuck over at their wildlife center in Morrow County, and she brought a cotton candy.
We have that at our festival.
Is that right?
It's delicious.
And some suckers made from candy. Oh.
Yep.
My.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Yeah. Great stuff. Well, anyway, the dates for this coming up are March 7th and 8th. That's on a Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. And the following weekend on the 14th and 15th, Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. And this will be held at Malabar Farm State Park. When you get to the park, which is on Pleasant Valley Road, just outside of Mansfield, when you get to the park, you'll park at the down at the working farm part. And we have horse-drawn shuttles that will take you up to the sugar bush.
Oh,
you can't
really?
Actually drive up there. But people from the draft horse organization over in that area provide the wagons and the draft horses to pull the wagons.
Oh, that's good.
So you get to drive the wagon up to where the sugar bush is, where you can take all your tours. We'll also have the Pew Cabin open, and we'll have all kinds of food available for you that day. that you can buy. They usually have bean soup and sandwiches and things like that. And they always have maple donuts available,
ooh,
too.
Wow.
And also in there, they'll have things set up. Or there'll be a big tent, or they may have our new building done yet. I'm not quite sure. But they'll have a setup where you can buy all the maple syrup products there, like the cotton candy and the maple syrup and the suckers and all that kind of good stuff.
I tell you, there's nothing that tastes better.
Oh, man. And, of course, this is honest-to-goodness maple syrup with no additives.
That's right.
No additives.
And residual stuff is filtered out of it from the
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. Right. That's the evaporation process, and you can see how that whole process works. It takes 40 gallons of sap to get 1 gallon of syrup.
Isn't that something?
40 gallons of sap. And this year I think they're gonna try to, well, they've already got the trees tapped, and I haven't talked to anybody over there to see how many they tap, but they were shooting for tapping somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 trees. Because our goal is to make enough maple syrup to take care of all the state parks in Ohio.
Yes. Wow.
So that's our goal. So, again, that's 7th and 8th and 14th and 15th, two weekends in a row from noon to 4. Also, the Big House will be open that day, downstairs only, so that you can take a tour of that. I don't think they make a charge that day for the Big House. That's usually a free tour. Obviously, if you want to buy any product or food or anything while you're over there, you got to use your own money for that. And we don't do, I don't, whether they do credit cards or not, they might, but bring some cash along anyway. Donations to the horse group are obviously provided, but it is a free event. There's no charge to get in or no parking charge or anything like that. It's a state run event.
Great, yeah.
So that's coming up those first two weekends. And then we got a new event coming up this year on March the 28th. I will be back, I think, before then a little bit. But that's going to be called Nature Doodling. It's new this year. We've got a couple of retired art teachers that are also volunteers there, and they will show you how you can do some doodling based on designs that you see in the woods when you're out taking a hike. So that should be kind of a fun thing too. So that'll be coming up that last weekend. So Charlie, I think we're getting close to the end of our time.
We've got a whole minute yet.
Well, let me say one other thing. I just recently got a subscription. My wife got this for me for Christmas, to the Ohio Irish American News, which is published up in the Cleveland area. So any of you Irish people out there, if you're interested, go online and look for the Ohio Irish American News. Got a lot of great information about things that are going on all over the state of Ohio that involve the Irish festival type things. A lot of recipes in there, and you can even learn to speak the Irish language by reading this newspaper. There's a guy that writes a column every month in there about that.
Yeah, to me it always looked very complicated.
It is extremely complicated. I'm trying to learn just a few phrases so I can speak those phrases, but it's a tough language.
Fred Malone, the Irishman.
See you next month.
Okay, and it's been good to have Fred with us this month. And we'll be breaking here in about 12 seconds. So have a nice day today and keep warm. And Glenn Coble will be on at 12:15, so stay tuned.